It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Sick Podcast Recruits Draftcast. It's late April. Hockey is fun. Hockey is important. It's the playoffs. It's the U18s just started today. So we got lots to dissect. We're going to get to Grant and Rocco's top 10 biggest busts since the 2010 draft as well. Rocco's got his riser of the week as per usual. We got Grant's prospect of the week. And for our Habs fans, we got our Habs highlight prospect of the week. Let's get into it.
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to the Sick Podcast. Sick Podcast. Recruits Draftcast.
And with the first overall selection in the 2023 NHL Draft, the Chicago Blackhawks are very proud to select from the Regina Pats, the Western Hockey League, Connor Bedard.
The sickest NHL draft and scouting podcast. It's gonna be sick.
All right, producer Shane here, as always, joined by my fantastic co-hosts, Grant McCagg, Rocco Zappia. Gentlemen, how are we today?
Playoff hockey's back. The Leafs are losing. Grant shaking his head. I'm happy.
Yeah. That was supposed to get switched from Connor Bedard. Sleep at the switch. Guys have been too busy this week. NFL
here
draft.
Here we go.
We'll give him a little leeway with that.
That's right. Yeah. NHL playoffs are underway. It's a lot of fun, as we know. And so far, they have not disappointed. The Winnipeg series has been Winnipeg-Colorado series. Phenomenal. Obviously, seeing the Leafs lose puts a smile on all of our faces, right? Even though it's Boston, I think we can swallow our pride for a second. But, Grant, you got something to say?
I never thought I'd cheer Marchand scoring goals, but I did.
It feels wrong. It feels wrong, but you know what? For the time being, I think we have to.
That was for the
common good, you know what I mean?
The Habs fan in that series, what the Habs fan is cheering for is a 7-game series where they beat the piss out of each other, and then they're both out by the end of the second round.
Of course.
Well said.
Marchand, that was a beautiful goal, you know. Man. And it was pretty cool because Chris Cuthbert said, oh, the fans are into it now, and then bing.
Yeah, right away.
And then all of a sudden they weren't.
Yeah, the fans are into it. That building was a library. Anyways, I digress.
It's not the same soft Toronto Maple Leafs, though. Like, they got some fight in them now.
Yeah.
They got a lot more fight in them than they've had.
Well, Domi and Edmondson, they had to pick up, you know, former Habs just to get a little bit of bite, right?
So. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. That's true.
Bertuzzi's been unbelievable for them. Anyways, we don't need to talk about the Leafs. They get enough coverage elsewhere.
But we do have to talk about the NHL playoffs. You can find the best odds on CBET and get your first bet refunded up to $3,000 with code SICK. That's code SICK, S-I-C-K, only on CBET. Gentlemen, as we know, the draft is not a perfect science. Every year there's a player that goes, you know, fairly high in the first round that never pans out, whether they get injured and, you know, aren't able to recover, or their game just doesn't translate to the NHL level. So as a fun little exercise, you have both prepared a top 10 since the 2010 draft of the biggest busts. And Grant, we'll start with you, starting from 6 to 10. Here's your list. Get us into it.
Yeah. Well, I did a double for number six there. I decided the dreaded 215 draft for Boston, where they picked 13 to 15, and they picked Zboril, DeBrusk, and Sinishin. I mean, DeBrusk, he's turned out as time has gone on that he hasn't been a bad pick. I mean, he's been a Leaf killer, so right there, that disqualifies him from being a bust, obviously. But these two, 13 and 15, and I mean, NHL scouts too. I remember at the time, kind of live texting with a couple, and Sinishin especially at 15, they were shaking their heads. Like the kid, he's an Ottawa area kid, so I'm not going to be too hard on him. He could really skate, but they're just, it didn't translate to the NHL, that speed, because the rest of his game, there were just too many holes. And everyone I knew had him as a, after the top 40. And for them to use a 15th pick on him. But then Zboril, too. And the main reason why I have two picks that, my other busts are all top 12. But there was two. And there was some great guys that were passed over, like Barzal,
Kyle Connor.
Hmm. Like, if they'd have picked Kyle Connor and Barzal even Shabbat, if you had to replace a defenseman, Shabbat and Barzal, they wouldn't be, it wouldn't be 2-1 the series right now with the Leafs. It'd be 3-0, and they'd be. They'd have won more than one cup. I think it just goes to show you how important the draft is. And mm-hmm. when you make two mistakes in the first round, how it could really hurt you down the road. Elias Anderson in the Montreal's, farm team system now. So we got one Hab bust sort of in there, even though they didn't pick him, but every scout I knew, I think I had him ranked 15th or something. You loved his all-around game as a junior. He was a great junior, even if he flung his silver medal into the stands there, but his skating, just everyone was concerned that they didn't know if he could translate his game to the NHL because he had skating issues, and he still does. It's why he's in the American League. That's why Montreal never called him up this year. It's why he should not have been a top 10 pick or even a top 15 pick, as it turned out. So I had to get him in there. Mm-hmm. I don't know why it says Vitality, but that's kind of
Vitality.
That's been on Google again.
Yeah. Vitaly Kravtsov. We'll blame that on autocorrect. Vitality, no one had him top 10. And when the Rangers picked him there, granted, he had a great playoff in the KHL that year. So, but it was such a small sample size, and again, the Russian factor, guys were really surprised because there wasn't a lot of viewings on him that year, even though he played in the KHL in the playoffs that year and looked really good, it was a risk to take him top 10, and I think time has shown that that was a bad pick, because I mean, he was out of the league basically within 3 or 4 years, and his stats, I think he might have 20 career NHL points or something, and that's just for a top 10 guy, that's a bust. Samuel Morin, he gets a little bit of a, you give him a bit of a pass because of injuries, but even at the time, that was a pick because of his size. Sometimes the NHL teams can get just too wrapped up in a player's size. And, he was 6'6", he could skate okay, but there really wasn't a lot to his game. He didn't have a puck game. He didn't, he didn't think the game very well. It was all one of those size skating picks where you just sometimes you gotta look past that and actually scout the guy and say, okay, you know, sometimes you can develop these guys, but more often than not, they are what they are. And, you know, he should have been somebody that was picked towards the late in the first round, I think it's fair to say. And what, he got like a small cup of coffee in the NHL and that's it. So top 11 pick when you don't even play one season in the NHL, that's, you know, that's not very impressive. I mean, I'm ninth out of the 10, so it's not like he was the worst bust, but Philly would love to have that pick back. Duncan Siemens, he was a product of Hockey Canada. Loved this kid, and he played in every event, U16, U17, U18, you know, was played big minutes. And the thought was, oh, well, if Canada, Hockey Canada loves him, then he must be good, right? Well, he wasn't good. His hockey sense was a question mark. Lots of scouts didn't have him that high because of it. And it just, he was a, if you want a poster boy for why you don't take a defenseman high if there's questions about his hockey sense, it'd be him. Keaton Ellerbe would have been another example pre 2010 where you gotta have hockey sense to play defense in the NHL, and his was lacking, to put it mildly. So those were the 6 to 10 guys for me. There were a lot of other possibilities, like Brett Connolly was one, you know, top 6 pick by Tampa.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Who really didn't pan out. You know, there were better picks than him to be taking. He did score 100 goals in the NHL. So because of that, I gave him the, you know, I gave him a break as far as top 10. But, you know, Yzerman always got so much, and their scouting staff always got so much plaudits because of the good picks they made. But that was a big miss too, you know. So I've always thought of him as a bust, but I had 10 guys ahead of him. So that's the 6 to 10 for me. And I could mention a few more, but I think Rocco has a few. I don't want to mention the Ottawa guy. I think we'll let Rocco do that. So anyway,
all right.
That's my 6 to 10, and we'll see what Rocco has in there.
Let's bring it up here. This is Rocco's 6 to 10. Some recurring names, not Vitaly this time, but I'll let Rocco get into this.
Yeah. I wasn't Googling Russian spelling earlier. I got that one right. That's okay. Just copy paste. So similar names to Grant, couple all honorable mentions, dishonorable mentions, whatever you want to call them. That just didn't quite crack my top 10 or bottom 10, depending how you look at it. Jay O'Brien selected 19th for Philly. Zero games played. Tyler Biggs, 22nd. I had to find a way to chirp the Leafs a little bit. So zero games played, 22nd overall in 2011. Tyler Boucher in 2021. It's too early to put him on that list because of...
No.
Yes, on the top. it's too early to put him in the top 10. Because of how recent the 2021 draft was. But he is amongst all players drafted between 2010 and 2022, so everyone except last year's draft, he is the only player selected in the top 10 of any of those drafts to have played zero games in the league thus far. And he will get some games in, but he's had some massive injury problems. So he does run a risk of maintaining that title for quite some time. And it just hasn't worked out for him for one reason or the other. I don't want to get into it because I do actually, when he's healthy at full speed, I actually don't mind the player as a prospect whatsoever, but he's never been healthy. So that's tough. So he's, I gotta chirp the Suns a little bit. I gotta take what I give, and I dish it out to the Habs and the Leafs. So we'll mention the Suns in there too. Now, the 10, Simons, Grant covered that well. 11th overall to Colorado, only 20 games played in his career. Could have been JT Miller, who went 15th to the Rangers. Zboril and Sinishin, I gave them each their own thing here because I did want to mention Shabbat, Barzal, and Connor. I think Boston's idea was to take two forwards and a defenseman. So Zboril, you could have had Shabbat. The thing, like, they played on the same team. They played on the same D pair most of that season. One's on an 8x8 contract, say what you will about him, but he's on an 8x8 and the other guy's not really in the league. So Sinishin could have been either Barzal or Connor. And I remember that draft, Shabbat, Barzal, and Connor. And I guess mid first round, there's really no consensus, but quote unquote, those are the next three guys on a vast majority of lists remaining at that point in the draft. They were the three that could have gone higher that just fell for some reason. Boston had all three of them fall into their lap, 1, 2, 3, and they pass in all three. And DeBrusk, I'm a big fan of Jake DeBrusk. I still think maybe he should have gone a little bit later than he did, but I'm a big fan of his game. He's a playoff player. He's a freaking gamer. I take that guy on my team any day. The other two, not in the league. So, Logan Brown. What an absolute waste of talent that was. Jeez, I remember watching him. That was my first year actually scouting formally for – I was with ISS Hockey, who's not around anymore, but that's who I was with at the time. And some games, like, he was Jekyll and Hyde. You would see the good, the bad, and the ugly of him. And when he was on, he dominated the play, especially at the junior level. He was so big and strong, and his vision and his playmaking was so, so good. But absolutely zero work ethic, absolutely no skating ability, and I don't think really much desire to go out and get better and improve his play. I do think there was some entitlement there for whatever reason. And I don't know the kid personally, so I'm speculating a little bit, but I think he had some attitude problems, and it's too bad because he had a lot of tools in the toolbox, and 99 career games played on with a second organization now and not seen any NHL time. So Logan Brown, number 7, then that one still hurts because I did like that pick at the time. Vitali Kravtsov, 9th overall to New York, top 10 pick, only 64 career games played. Like Grant said, he went higher on the back of a very strong playoff run. And New York's got a few players here on these lists, and they built a great team now, but man, they missed on a few of their picks that they had a chance to really get better on. So that's my number 10 through 6, and let's see what Grant has as his top 5 or bottom 5.
Well, let's chat about about this first a bit, just our two lists, whatever. Yeah, Logan Brown was definitely on my honorable mentions. I just didn't want to be too hard on your sentence there, so I cut him with some slack. But
no, that one deserves it. And that's on him entirely.
Well, yeah, no, I guess if you think that he was more of a bust than Samuel Morin, I mean, they were both picked at the exact same spot, right? Yeah. I mean, for you, because you're a Sens fan, you feel a little more, right?
I considered Morin, and there's a few guys I considered Patrick, yeah, another guy who I didn't put on my list at all, but Sammy Morin, he had really, really, really bad injuries, and despite his play not being maybe up to what they had hoped it was when he did play in the lineup, I don't think he ever had a fair shake at a career because he was hurt. So I, for that reason, is why I kept him off my list. And the guys that didn't make it because they got hurt, I cut them some major slack because I feel for them.
That's fair. And I cut guys a little slack that Brown was not picked. Like, everyone had him top 12. Yeah. And I mean, he was really, really good in the U18s at the end of the year that year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you could not blame them for taking him at 11 overall.
No.
So I gave them a little slack in that regard because you don't know how much they're going to train or not train off ice. And as it turned out, he didn't, you know, and that, I mean, that's the tough part to project as a, when you're scouting, is just, you know, how much intestinal fortitude they're like, how much they will train and not train. There were concerns with that, but we saw so much. I mean, a 6'6 guy that could stick kind of like he could, like, they're rare.
Look, and I was a big fan. I loved that pick, and I don't want to get into it, but I really liked Mikey McLeod that year too, and his speed and his work ethic there. And I went back and forth, but hey, I'm a Sens fan, and I scouted them extensively that year, especially Brown and McLeod, because they were, you know, I got to see them in against the 67s fairly often, and I was very happy and excited about the Logan Brown pick. I thought he had, I thought he had all the tools to be a really, really high end second or maybe a number one center if everything went right, and he just did not.
I was the biggest Mike McLeod fan on the planet.
No, so was I. I loved
him. I had him top five, and I thought, wow, you moved up to not take McLeod. You know, that was the other reason why you could justify having him in the top 10 for sure. Brown, I mean, because they also gave up, what was it, a second or a third round pick to move up and then not take McLeod. I thought that was a, you know, I thought, oh, that, yeah, you know,
Brown was the upside guy, though. I don't think McLeod was seen to have the same potential offensively as Brown, which is why they probably went that direction. But that, as it turns out, the best player that should have gone was Charlie McAvoy, who went a couple of weeks later to Boston, who's an absolute superstar of a hockey player.
Yeah, and he was tough. Like, I bounced him back and forth. That was a tough draft for ranking. I had guys moved up and down. McAvoy, I must have moved him from like 5 to 15, you know, and back and forth during the year. You know, just a little inconsistent that year. And there were some questions about his, you know, his decision making. Well, there aren't now. He's he turned out to be one of the top, I think, 6 or 7 guys from that draft class. All right, well, we can.
Let's get to Grant's top five now.
Yeah, I'll do it. I'll run it down like
5-1. Yeah,
not nearly as fancy as Rocco's, eh, boy. And I didn't even have alternatives. My goodness. I come up with the topics and then he tops me. That's good. Okay. I'll start with 5. I'm pretty sure that Rocco will have him in his top 5 too. Ollie Ulevi, I mean, 5th overall in 2016. You know, that's the same. That was the Logan Brown draft, right? Or was it?
No, Logan Brown was 16, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they could have taken Tkachuk, right? They could have taken McAvoy. They could have taken Sergachev. They could have taken McLeod. They could have taken, you know.
Chikrin.
I mean, it obviously, when you're drafting top five, you don't want a guy that doesn't play for you. And basically, Ulevi just never panned out. And a lot of scouts loved him. Like, this wasn't Vancouver on an island by any stretch. I know guys that said, you know, and part of it was the fact that the Hunters, you know, he was in London. When the scouts talked to the Hunters, they just praised him up and down. And who's to argue with what the Hunters say, right? I mean, even the scouts saying, okay, well, he must be good. He's going to be something else. And he had a terrific U18. And, well, actually, I think he may have played in the U20s that year, if I'm not mistaken. And he was pretty solid. So the thought was that even though there was no special quality to his game, that he was just, you know, he was in the London system. They were going to develop him, and he'd be just a great all around top 2 defenseman. And as we've seen, that did not pan out. So he was a fairly easy choice for top 5 for me. Michael Dahl-Cole, again, top five. All these guys were top five picks, and I, you know, there has to be a certain amount of emphasis put on that. Again, didn't pan out. Skating was an issue, even though he put up great numbers in his draft year. Big enough kid, up and down winger, scored a lot of goals. The thought was that he'd overcome the skating question and become an NHL sniper. I mean, I thought it was a little high that they picked him because of the skating issue, but I think most people had him pegged as a top 10 guy. He did not pan out. I'm pretty sure that Rocco probably has him on his list too, and he'll have the alternatives there, but there were some better, it wasn't a great draft 2014. So they get a little bit of a pass in that regard. I mean, guys like Nick Ritchie were picked in the top 10 who, you know, didn't turn out to be great players either, but there were certainly better choices than Dahl-Cole as time has shown. Griffin Reinhart, the Islanders at two in the top five here. I mean, they were able to turn that around and trade him to Edmonton, so it didn't hurt quite as bad because I think they got Eberle back for Reinhart. So they got, or Strom, might have been Strom, I guess, that they picked up from the Oilers for Reinhart a couple of years down the road. But Griffin Reinhart, he was a bust. You know, you take him top four and he barely plays in the NHL. There was an example of the name, you know, in part big kid that they thought was playing on a really good team, was going to, you know, develop. His old man was a fantastic defenseman, just one of the most, I think Gretzky said he was as talented as any defenseman that he ever played against. And the thought was, you know, the pedigree, the size, the success of the Oilers, a lot of it must have been on Reinhart's back. But as we discovered with time, wasn't the smartest defenseman. So and you have to be smart to play defense in the NHL. And he wasn't, just too many mistakes, especially under pressure. The top two there is not there. I think we lost Shane. So
you're Nolan Patrick number two.
Yes. I just was hoping it would come back up and Shane would pop back up, but
he'll be back.
Yeah, he will return. yeah, Nolan Patrick. I mean, you know, you have to look at the alternatives, right? Especially, I did not like Nolan Patrick, but was kind of, NHL guys sort of talked me into keeping him in my top three. I had Heiskanen too. And even though I liked Makar more, I ended up putting Patrick three and Makar four. Time has shown that Makar and Heiskanen and Pettersson for sure were all should have been picked ahead of him. That was Suzuki was in that draft class, Robert Thomas, you can go down the list of some really, really good players that came out of Velarde, it goes on and on with picks that could have been taken over Patrick as time has gone on. I mean, Patrick was, going into that draft year, he was the consensus number one, right? Right up until Christmas, people were, Nolan Patrick, number one. Ned, I think it was November. I'd been looking at Patrick and I said, guys, there's issues here. He's lazy. He's away from the puck. He doesn't compete. And much like Logan Brown, you wondered, is he going to do the work off ice that's going to be needed to, because he was skinny. He had like no meat on his shoulders whatsoever. But as a 16-year-old, he scored 100 points. He got injured in his draft year, so people cut him some slack in that regard. However, there were concerns with this kid's character and laziness that I think ended up, coming through when it came to the NHL. It doesn't matter how talented you are in junior when you're 16 years old. If you don't do the work like a Crosby or McKinnon or you name them, they all kept working after they were drafted. You know, they didn't just rest on their laurels and try to get by on their talent. You got to keep working at it. And yes, he ran into some injury problems, but I think they were in large part due to him not doing the off ice work and getting strong enough. You know, he ended up having shoulder injuries because he didn't bulk up. He didn't work. He didn't work out. He didn't get stronger. And, because of that, he ran into injury problems. Part of it you can say was bad luck, but also part of it, I think you got to blame on him. So, considering the guys that were passed over, considering that he was a top two pick, for me, he has to be considered one of the top 10 busts. And for me, number two. Now, number one, there's a lad. Can you get the list back up there again? I remember who it is. Eh? Yeah. Well, I mean, I think I nailed it, you know. Naomi Yakupov. Yeah, it wasn't a great draft year. Yakupov had a decent rookie season, but he was gone. he was out of the NHL just like Kravtsov within 4 or 5 years. The work ethic wasn't there. Yeah, he was a 100-point scorer as a 16-year-old, much like Patrick, and you thought, okay, there's enough skill there. He'll figure out you got to work hard to succeed in the NHL, and he didn't. He was lousy away from the puck, had no interest in the defensive part of the game. Coaches got tired of him in a hurry and, got traded to St. Louis. Same deal, coaches. We can't play this guy. There's two nets, right? You can't just worry about putting goals in. You got to worry about your keeping them out too. And he didn't worry about it. And of course, like a lot of Russian prima donnas that, he had that option of going. Things weren't working out. Take his puck and go home, right? And that's what he did. He back to the KHL, back where country club, you can, doesn't have to work hard. Get his rubles and play and be, an afterthought in the NHL. But, there was talk at the time of Montreal trading Subban and the third pick to move up to get this guy. And I didn't have him first. I was the only guy, I think, with a public list that didn't. But I had concerns. I did not see a guy that worked hard, that cared about his defense at all. I thought that he was not going to translate to the NHL like everyone seemed to think. There's one I got right. Sometimes I got him right. I had him third overall in his draft year, and it actually, as things turned out, he should have been 15th. But
yeah,
there were guys.
2012 was a terrible draft. Oh my god.
Yeah, I mean Forsberg,
Vasilevsky, Hellebuck, but
yeah, there was Morgan Riley, but Riley played like 5-8 games.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
That year, so you weren't picking him first overall, you know. No. Ryan Murray, well, he got injuries killed his career, so I also considered him, but because it wasn't a deep draft and because it really was injuries that just really curtailed his career, and he did play 400 or 500 games, I didn't put him in the top 10, but you could have picked, you know, you could have picked 3 or 4 guys probably from that draft if you really wanted to, other than just Reinhardt and Yakupov. But it was a poor draft, as you say. So, you cut guys slack that cut the teams a little bit of slack that for some of the picks in the top 10 that didn't really pan out. So, but Yakupov, you know, the only number one pick since 2010 that was a true bust. And for me, that makes him number one. So that's my list.
Absolutely. And we can get to Rocco's list, who also has the same number one, I think.
Yeah.
Most people would agree.
The only difference here, really, is that I didn't put Patrick on the list. And I mentioned why earlier. He ended up playing over 200 games. But I do agree, if the criteria of the list is you look at the next 2 or 3 guys and then rank them, like, yes, he's number...
When you're picked second overall, yeah.
Probably number one, really, with Heiskanen. I mean,
Cale Makar went after him.
and Heiskanen and Makar and Patterson back to back right afterwards. So, he would have had a career in the league if it wasn't for the injuries, at least. I factor that in. A lot of the guys I picked didn't really even have careers here. But I'll go through my top five or bottom five, I guess. Number five, Elias Anderson, picked 7th overall with the Rangers. 110 career games played, not in the league at all right now, like Grant said, with Montreal's system. But he had some issues, and honestly, good on you, because that stunted the World Juniors. Like, kids worked their whole lives to, like, get to that level, and you win a silver. I get that you're pissed, and you lost a gold medal, but you chuck it in the stands like a little baby. Like, you get what you deserve there, I think. So I don't feel bad for that one at all. Michael Dal Colle, number four, again, like Grant said, had some skating issues, had some sense issues, just couldn't put it together. Sometimes that happens. They could have had either Willie Nylander or Nick Ehlers. They went back to back at 8 or 9. They would have been much better picks for the Canucks than Dal Colle ended up being. Number three, Olli Juolevi. This was, and I remember this guy very, very well. This was a guy. This particular player taught me a lot about scouting, because this was my first year that I was doing it, formally hired with someone to do it, covering the OHL. And I kept hearing and reading all these good things about him. And I for whatever reason, I never liked him. And I questioned myself because I was new and, you know, and as it turns out, there was good reason maybe why I didn't like him. So in hindsight, that actually gave me a little more confidence to keep going with it. So I'm like, okay, I got one right there early on. Now I missed on a few in that draft too. I'm not trying to toot my own horn, because I made a bunch of errors in that first year. But that was one that made me think, okay, you know what? Maybe I'm not as crazy as I think, because it never panned out for him. 41 career game played. His teammate went the very next pick, Matthew Tkachuk. Oh man, could you imagine Matthew Tkachuk and JT Miller on the same team? Whew. That'd be fun, eh? That'd be fun for Vancouver right now. Number two, Griffin Reinhart. Grant covered him pretty well. Only 37 game played as a top five pick. He went 4th overall to the Islanders. Morgan Riley and Hampus Lindholm were the next two picks right after him, who had both had excellent careers. Especially by comparison. So, I mean, you had the three defensemen in a row there, and the Islanders definitely got the wrong one.
Yeah.
And then
Dumba was a solid one too. Sorry.
What's that? Sorry.
Odumba would have been a lot better.
Yeah. No, absolutely. He went right after them as well. So a lot of good alternatives after Reinhardt. Just never the hockey sense kills him. And we'll talk about defensemen with hockey sense a little bit. That's a good segue to what I'm going to talk about later on. But number one, I agree with Grant completely. Nail Yakupov, waste of talent. Get out of here. Go rot in Russia. You're lazy. You don't care. We don't want you. Good riddance. Absolute waste of a pick for Edmonton, but he did lead them to Connor McDavid in some sort of roundabout way. So I guess in a sense he did his job.
Fair enough. Oh, that's yeah. I mean, as an Oilers fan, that's probably the only way you should look at it.
What if Yakupov just ended up being like not even a star, like a 65 point, I guess that's a star, but like not a superstar, but 65, 70 point player. And like, they don't have McDavid now. So maybe Yakupov is like the second best pick in Oilers history. Who knows?
Yeah. No, well, it's true. Like, you know, busts.
How it works out for them.
In a roundabout way, end up, you know, helping a team. Like, you know, and thank you for not putting KK on there because I thought you might just.
No. He was nowhere near the top. He was nowhere near the top 10. He was a region, but, and that's about it, but no.
But if they had a pick Tkachuk, they don't have Slafkovský right now. I mean,
we'd have Tkachuk, so that's okay.
I think we'll stop that discussion here and move on because we know how that one goes.
But they wouldn't have Slafkovský, so and they'd probably never made the playoffs because that's what Brady Tkachuk does. He helps teams not make the playoffs.
Do we want Slafkovský more than Tkachuk, based on his body of work to date?
We can have that discussion another time. I'd lean towards Slafkovský, but hey, Tkachuk's, you know, you can make an argument for Tkachuk for sure, and I would understand why
I'd say there'd be more Habs fans willing to make that trade one for one than there would be Sens fans, I would guess.
Well, you know, I watched every game of Slafkovský this year, and as a 19-year-old, you know, pretty impressed with the improvement curve, and I think it's only the sky's the limit for him.
I agree. He's going to be a star player in the league.
I totally understand why Ottawa fans would think that would be crazy to, and I'm not going to argue it. I understand.
I tried, Shane, to get him. I couldn't.
I'm not
going to take the bait today. Okay, that's fair.
If anybody hasn't seen The Battle, you can go back. You can go back on our previous
videos
that in full length. It's quite entertaining. I was literally crying. It was beautiful stuff. But Rocco, it's time for Rocco's Riser of the Week. And this week, it's one of our favorite defensemen in this draft and one of the best names, Ziv Buyum.
Yeah. All right. Let me see here. I got to pull this up. You got me off guard. Someone questioned Brady Tkachuk in the Ottawa Center. Ziv Buyum. I figured out how to pronounce it finally after a year of trying. It's Buyum. 6 foot, 185 pound left D for the University of Denver. He had 11 goals and 50 points this year for them in 42 games played. And for good measure, added 3 more goals and 5 points in 7 games at the World Juniors for Team USA as a draft-eligible defenseman, which is rather impressive. So these highlights are from the national championship game versus Boston College, who is top-ranked team all year long, and they've got a hell of a lineup of forwards to defend Cutter Gauthier, Ryan Leonard, Will Smith, and Gabe Perreault. So they're attacking at all times, and Buyum was tasked with stopping these guys, and he did one hell of a job in this game. He played just under 30 minutes in this one, including a ton in the second period. The last 6 or 7 minutes seemed like he hardly came off the ice. He played 4 of the last 5 minutes consecutive, defending a 2-goal lead. He was the second leading scorer on his team this year, which is incredibly impressive for a national championship caliber team. He had one assist in this game, which you'll see shortly, which I could watch the replay of that over and over and over. It was absolutely a thing of beauty. And it demonstrated a lot of the tools, that he's getting very, very well known for. His skating is fantastic. That's a huge, huge asset for him. His four-way mobility is fantastic. His excellent edge work. He's able to change direction quickly, maintain control of the puck. He does the Ricky Bobby shake and bake. He shakes defenders off, creates lanes for himself. He's very, very, very evasive, very elusive. I can't say really enough about his mobility. It's one of maybe his second biggest asset to his game. Only second to his hockey sense, I think. His decision-making is absolutely superb in all three zones. He really, really understands the flow of the game. He really understands how to anticipate a play. He understands when he can take a very aggressive angle at a loose puck, and he understands when he has to give a little bit up a little bit. Not too much, but not maybe be as aggressive as he could be. He picks his spots really, really, really well. Aside from that, his puck movement is quite good. He maybe not quite at the Makar or Quinn Hughes level, and he may not put up the same points that a Zane Parekh might, but he's not far offensively. He's really not far below that elite offensive tier. I do think he has the ability to potentially run a top power play at the NHL level. And I think he has the ability to maybe be a first pair player on both special teams. I mean, he does it in this game. You're looking at it now. He does some fantastic work defending on the PK and really using his speed and his anticipation to his advantage and being aggressive on that PK. I mean, you got to keep in mind here, he's defending a 2-goal lead against a top ranked team in the country in the national championship game on the PK. And he has the confidence and wherewithal to know when to pick his spots, when he can be aggressive like that and really go at a guy and try to break up the play and when he has to let them mess around with the puck and just defend the middle like a traditional box format. So to have that kind of advanced hockey sense as a draft eligible D who's playing against older, what should be bigger, stronger, faster players in the NCAA level, it's really, really, really impressive what he's been able to do and the role that he took on that team and the role that his coaches had the confidence to give him. Because I mean, they have to put him in those situations in order for him to be able to show what he can do. And they had no qualms about putting him in high pressure and high intensity situations all year long. And he consistently answered the bell for them. And he did it in all three zones. And I've talked a lot about his movement and his puck movement and his skating, his offensive play, but his defensive play is just as good and maybe even better than his offensive game is. He's very reliable. It's the decision making. It's hockey IQ, and we talked about this on Grant's list. Like, a lot of those defensemen who ended up not living up to expectations, what a lot of them have in common was a lack of hockey sense. And this guy is just full of hockey sense. And for my money, I do think this is a potential top five pick in this upcoming draft. And there's some defensemen. And I've talked about other defensemen at length in this draft, and I really, really think that this guy belongs in the conversation, at least for being one of the top couple defensemen off the board. And if he ends up being a top five pick, that would not surprise me at all. I do think we're looking at a true, bona fide, honest to God, all situation star player here with this kid. There's aside from the size a little bit, he's only 6 foot, but aside from that, there's really nothing to dislike about him whatsoever. Any team that's getting this guy, your fan base, I don't care who you want, be happy with the pick because he's going to do good things for your franchise.
Muted.
5 years ago, he probably isn't considered a top five pick because he's only 6 foot. But we've seen the success of Adam Fox, Cale Makar, Quinn Hughes, they're in the running for the Norris every year, all three of them, there's a lot more. I think scouts are a lot more open to picking a guy with good offensive upside that's maybe not prototypical size higher in the draft than they were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, what have you. So for those reasons, it wouldn't surprise me if he ended up going top five in the draft. We've got him and, you know, I mean, it's we could flip him and Yakimchuk. They're right 5-6 at this point.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't disagree. We've got him at six right now, but you looked at in the Frozen Four, he played such a key role. I mean, good highlights there. You notice with the empty net, with them protecting a 2-0 lead, who's on the ice?
And aggressive too, like and breaking plays up and clearing pucks. There was one game in that run that they had. They went to double overtime. He played 48 minutes.
Yeah. So
48 minutes. That's a set of lungs there. Wow.
So like, what does that say? And this is a team that they literally just won the national title. So what does that say about a guy as a defenseman, second leading scorer on a team of that caliber, playing those kind of minutes, like?
As a freshman, as a draft year,
yeah, exactly. And yes, he's a late birthday, and that's fine. So he's a little bit older, but who cares? The guy's a star. Period.
Yeah. Yep. All right,
Rocco,
Grant, it's your turn. Prospect of the week, Steen Solberg. Let's have a look.
Yeah. He's competing in the finals, the Norwegian League finals right now, men's league. He's a late birthday draft eligible too, so late 2005. To be playing, he's averaging 20 minutes of ice time per game through 17 playoff games, including a minute 54 shorthanded. Every game for an 18-year-old playing in a pro league that's actually not too bad. I watched quite a bit of Norwegian hockey this year. Pro hockey, which I don't normally do because there's no, you know, as a rule, the good Norwegian players go to play in the Swedish junior or Finnish junior. But he was good enough to play in the top league in Norway. And it's pretty decent hockey. And you'll even notice from these highlights. But I mean, just, you know, He's been playing, averaging 19 seconds per game on the power play. So they've been putting him out a lot more in a defensive role, which again, for an 18-year-old, it impresses me that he's playing in a men's league and counted on to play 20 minutes a game, one of their top three defensemen in ice time and on the top unit penalty killing. Despite the limited time with the man advantage, he has 9 points. Which is pretty darn impressive. That's seventh most among all defensemen in the league. So he's been demonstrating that he's got some nice offensive skill. And I think you noticed with those first few highlights, which were his points, that he can carry the puck. He's got some really good puck carrying skating skills, handles the puck well, solid puck mover. So there's some really nice offensive skills with this kid, and he's 6'2" and already pretty big. Now, the other impressive thing, apart from him also being in the top seven among defensemen in scoring, is he's leading all players in the Norwegian league in the playoffs in penalty minutes. So he's got an edge to his game. Now, an 18-year-old playing against men, leading all, there he gets crunched into the boards, but pops right back up. You know, it didn't faze him at all. He's gonna have to put on some weight. Obviously, he gets out muscled at times in front of the net. He could maybe use a little more strength, and it's that way for every teenager, right? Every 18-year-old needs to get stronger, but once he does, the will's there, the compete's there. He's gonna have a player with a physical edge to his game now. You add that along with his mobility, his size, his offensive upside. I really like this prospect. I think he's got, wouldn't surprise me at all if he ends up going in the first round. Now, the issue that, and I got looking into the stats a little heavier, he's been on the ice for 28 goals against in the playoffs in 17 games. That's an average of 1.65 per game. That's not great. He's averaging 4.95 goals against per 60 minutes, while his team's goals against average is 2.95. So basically, two more goals a game when he's on the ice. So, you know, I had a good look. I looked at all of his goals against on Instat. And, you know, I expected to see a lot more mistakes than, you know, considering those stats, right? But it's his defense partner. He's with a Rover. The guy's out of position constantly, number six. And, you know, Solberg's been holding his position pretty well. Doesn't make a lot of bad turnovers. You know, makes the smart play, makes a smart outlet pass, even under pressure as a rule. Gets, you know, out muscle in front of the net for the odd goal. But in a lot of the cases, the goals against were not his fault. So I'm giving him a bit of a benefit of the doubt in that regard. I think he's just like every 18-year-old defenseman. He's got to get stronger. And with that, his defensive game will come along. You know, he's got decent hockey sense. He's not prone to the bad turnovers under pressure. So I expect those goals against numbers will just keep improving as he gains strength and experience. The fact is that, you know, he's got the size. He's got the skating ability. He's competitive. He's smart. There are a lot of – that was a nice goal, you know, on the rush. There are a lot of good things to like about his game. So they're in the final. He's got points in the last three games. I just love the kid's confidence. It just, like, you know, reminds me of Nemec last year in that regard, where nothing phases – you know, he's got nothing phases him against men at his age. And he, you know, he's got confidence – high level confidence. So I wouldn't doubt it if he plays in the World Championships for Norway. I hope so. And we get one more good look at him against men on the world stage. And if he does, and if he keeps playing with the confidence that he has been in the Norwegian playoffs, I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up going in the first round, because I see a nice package there. I've got him right on the cusp, and I'm honestly likely going to move him into the first round. There's just all of the things that you like to see in a defenseman. He's got all of the qualities of a first round guy. So I think he's a little off the radar because of where he plays. You know, you don't see him. He did play in the World Juniors and he did impress. So guys are aware of them, but, you know, they're not typically, when they go over to Scandinavia, they're not making trips to Norway because it's a little out of the way. You know, you go to Sweden, you go to Finland, you know, the odd North American scout maybe made the trip to Europe or to Norway, but not too many of them. They're relying on their European scouts when it comes to him for where he'll get ranked. So that might dock him a little bit, but I really hope he plays in the World Championships, and the because all the NHL big guns go to that, right? The GMs are there, the even presidents are there. You know, you'll see Gorton and Hughes at the World Championships because there's no hockey to you know, they're not following their team at that time of the year, right? They're out. So he could.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
You know, he might even climb into the top 20 discussion, I think. When you look at his game, he's got, like I say, he's got the components to be a first round pick. So it's going to be interesting to see where he goes on draft day. He's a sleeper for me.
Yeah. Stian Solberg out of Norway. Interesting prospect there. Guys, today the U18 started. So again, not much we can talk about. However, the U.S. did just step all over Slovakia with a 9-0 win. I think Cole Iserman had a hat trick. He's creeping up on Cole Caulfield's record there. And Cole Hudson has a good game as well. James Hagens, we knew he was going to be pretty good. And then Canada beat Sweden 6-3. And how about Gavin McKenna? I mean, are you kidding me? This guy is 16, right? He played his 15, 16-year-old season in Medicine Hat, had over 90 points in 60-some games. Just stupidity. I mean... Yeah. Anyways, I'm already excited for the 2026 draft, and we're not even 2024 draft yet. Yeah, this kid's good thing he's on our side, right?
Yeah, he's impressive. There's no doubt about it. All the underage guys, like they're the, you know,
Malcolm Spence, yeah, Porter Martone, Roger McQueen. You could keep naming them.
Yeah, no, they all look good. Schaefer on the fence. Even Aitchison kid didn't look too bad. So. It's a nice crop of underage guys for next year, so, and obviously 2026.
That's right.
McKenna. It's crazy.
So that's it. The tournament just started today, so there's not much for us to discuss yet. However, next week, then we'll probably dedicate the whole show to that tournament. We'll have much more to sink our teeth in. Rocco, thank you for your analysis and your lists. Much appreciated as always. We'll see you next week.
Awesome. What do you think of Solberg there, just quickly?
I liked him just from the clips that you put. Yeah. I mean, you know, like I admittedly don't dive as deep into the Euro guys as you do, and I just want to be clear about that to people watching. But very, very toolsy player is how I would describe him. Have I watched as much as Grant? No, but he's got all the ability there. I mean, he could skate, he can move the puck, he looks like he anticipates pretty well. So I don't know where he ends up fitting in the grand scheme of it, but if that's a guy that goes in the 20 to 40 range, that would look about right at first glance. But very, very toolsy player. That's a guy where a team might get a feel, like he's a very feel kind of player, I think, because you have to project a little bit, especially playing in a little bit of a weird league, not against a ton of other top prospects. But a team that picks him, they're going to get a feel for him and have a good sense of what he can do. And who knows? We'll see. That's a guy that could go really whole bunch of places playing in it, just based on where he plays and against men in a random league and, you know, different type of defense. It doesn't play really traditional defensive type. It doesn't seem anyways, but interesting to see where he goes. I liked him based on the highlights that you picked anyways.
Good stuff. Okay, Rocco.
Right. All right, guys, we'll catch you next week. Thanks.
Yeah. Take care. Beautiful stuff there. And with saving Rocco's ears, because we're going to talk about some Habs. Again, the crop, the selection of Habs prospects currently playing is very slim. But one of them was Philip Meschar, and you wanted to talk to us about him. So let's have a look.
Yeah. Well, he had 15 assists in 10 playoff games. So I decided to... pay homage to that. Here are all of his assists, first of all, on the first tape. So, I mean, you get a look at, you know, his puck skills and his vision. He's tasked with carrying the puck into the opponent's zone on the power play for Kitchener in the playoffs. And he averaged 5.5 zone entries per game, which is a significant, you know. Much like last playoff, he was the club's main play driver in that sense. So, he was decent in that regard. He played center down the stretch and in the playoffs, predominantly on the second line, you could say, with Chalet. On the surface, you know, if you just look at the points highlights, looked decent, you know, and he obviously was successful in setting up guys in the playoffs, and that's, you know, for that reason, you got to give him some credit, and there is certainly playmaking ability there on his end. So, you know, where things start to get a little bit concerned about his lack of goal scoring. He scored one goal in the playoffs. He scored five goals in the final 33 games of the season. For a former first round pick, 5'10", not overly physical or a defensive force, that, you know, five goals in 33 games, that's disappointing, especially considering that he's, you know, he scored 12 in his first 20. So, you know, or 13 actually, and 32 points in his first 20. So didn't really see progress from him as the season went along. And then in the playoffs, he deferred, you know. He had a lot of assists, but in, you know, partly because he wasn't hungry for scoring. He wasn't going to the scoring areas. He wasn't getting dirty. And I think if he wants to crack, especially a top six spot with Montreal down the road, there's going to have to be a little more hunger to go to the net, to go to the dirty areas, to play a more well-rounded physical game. I looked at, because he had so many zone entries, I had a look at them. And the second tape here shows just the concerns I have with him with the puck, where he, you know, I thought I'd offset the good with the bad there with some, just to show where he dead ends himself too often with the puck, where he'll bring it into the zone. He's a great skater and very agile. So presumably I was looking for him to get a little more open with the puck. There was an example of where, you know, he should have passed it over to the guy. Made a lot of turnovers with his puck carrying with his zone entries in the playoffs. And it ended up hurting him, especially against London, where they got swept. And part of it was because he wasn't on his game. We didn't see progress in his game as the year went on. So there's work to be done with him. He was on the ice for 17 goals against in 10 playoff games. His goals against per 60 was 4.95, which for a forward is really bad. Like the club's goals against average is 3.77. So when he was on the ice, there was a lot more goals against. Now, you know, combine that with one goal in 10 games for a 20-year-old first-round pick, it's underwhelming. I have to admit. I mean, he's a friend of the show, great kid. I think he'll make a good pro, but I also think that there wasn't progress made in his game in the second half, and that hopefully he turns pro, you know, gets the message that he's going to have to play a little more inside. Because we saw it, like, you know, big kid, right? He's not tall, but he's thick, huge legs. So he's got the strength to power through and to go to the net and to be a little hungrier around the net. He's got a great shot too. Now, his shooting percentage in the playoffs was 3.8%, which is not good. Most of his shots were from the outside and were ineffective. Part of it's got to do with him playing with Chalet. He went from playing with Rakov in the first half of the year, who was one of the top point producers in the league. And then when they brought in Chalet, they kind of broke up that line and ended up putting him at center with Chalet. And I don't think it worked, you know, especially when I showed you those stats, right? One goal playing with Chalet. Chalet's more of a, you know, they both want the puck type thing, not really a passer. So it didn't work, and hopefully he'll go to Laval next year, mm-hmm. He'll play on the wing, not at center, because I don't think that worked when he got switched to center. He'll play with players that will pass him the puck, and he'll get more scoring opportunities. Because this kid does have a really good shot. And I think, you know, if he can be convinced to use it more often and to go to the net more, he's got the speed, the agility to score more goals. So given his size, given where he was picked in the draft, he's going to need to produce, and he's going to need to score goals in the AHL to get the call up and to get top nine, and especially to get top six looks in the NHL. So there's work to be done. You know, it's not all, I didn't want to just, I had a good look at him because he's a first round pick, you know, highly touted. You look on the surface, 15 assists, that's pretty good, but you know, there's got to be more to his game, and the potential's there, but there's work to be done, and hopefully he goes to Laval, works on those parts of the game that he needs to, and develops into a legitimate first round, you know, a guy that should have been picked in the first, and he proves it. Little disappointed in him in the second half this year. I have to admit, and I just hope that because of the reasons that I mentioned, that's why. And you can't discount, you know, when he's on his game, when he's got space, he makes good passes. He's a great skater. He does have a good shot. He works hard. I talked to a guy that, you know, Dan Maher, who you had on before, who follows Kitchener, and he says, you know, he worked hard. He tried hard in the playoffs. So the compete's there. Just, you know, there's some maturing to do, and he'll do that at the Laval, you know, in pro. And I like the development that, you know, JF Wool and the rest of the guys have been doing in Laval. And I think that he'll get the messages, you know, Nicholas, the whole bit, they'll work hard with him. The potential's there. The package is there. It's just, there's going to need to be some refinement to his game.
Yeah. Yeah. But like you said, potential's there. That's all that matters. Let's hope for the best for our good friend, Philip. But honestly, like, you know, how many assists did he get again? Remind me.
15 in 10 games.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. So if not, you know, bad. At least he's got that part of his game nailed down pretty damn good. Folks, that'll about do it for us this week. Tune in next week as we will break down some more of the U18s championship. And 2 weeks from now, or not, you know, we don't actually know the date yet, but theoretically 2 weeks from now should be the NHL draft lottery. So we will get to know the exact order. We've been speculating, right? Obviously, San Jose has the best odds, but it's not guaranteed. So we will know in about 2 weeks. And that means we're getting closer to the final rankings and the final mock draft. Stay tuned for that. You don't want to miss it. Grant, any parting words?
No, we better wrap her up.
We're over. We're going to get a slap on the wrist here. We had too much fun. We went too long. And always don't forget to go check out CBET. They will refund you up to $3,000 on your first bet with code SICK, SICK. So go do that. Make some money from these playoffs. They're not just fun. They can also be profitable. So with that, take care, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you in the next one.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast Recruits Draftcast on YouTube, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts.